Well, hello. Hello, hello, hello. I'm going to give a few minutes to everybody comes on. Right. When you get on, just say hello. And I'm going to say hello. Hello, Miss Andrea. God bless you. Come on, just say hello. Hello. Hello, Miss House, Miss Crew. God bless y'all. Miss Renee. Hey, Miss Kisman. God bless you, Miss Bozeman. Miss Bozeman, Miss Nicole. One second. Hey, Mr. Christie. I'll be trying to figure out because I did this again. And with the name on top. You do that for me. Hey, Miss Laquita, Mr. Jean, Regina. Thank y'all so much for coming on board with me today. It's a lot of stuff that has been happening that I must comment. And then what? Mr. Christie, your name across the board. So I'm trying to get your, hey, Miss Dolly, Miss Sandra Garcia. Y'all hit your share buttons. We're going to talk really briefly tonight. And Mr. Candace, God bless you. God bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Okay. I mean, some of the things that I want to talk about tonight, I think they're very obvious things that we do, but I don't think we think that it's become obsessive and compulsive to us. Thank you, babe. Okay. Some of the things I don't think we think I have become obsessive and compulsive. One of the things that I'm getting, I've got some inboxes about, and that is, do you know people are gambling in the house just with little, you know, gadgets and stuff, bingo, playing money in the house, just waste the enemy. It becomes a disorder because you can't keep spending money, me too, playing video games and stuff, okay? So I just want to talk about those type of things that we begin to take as our vices and stuff like that, as opposed to really coming to terms with what is missing, what am I not doing, what do I need to do so that I can get it better, so that I can be in a better place. Please hit your share button. I taught a lot of this in deliverance class. Some of you say that there's, you know, groups that have talks about narcissism and different personalities, but there's a whole lot of different personalities that we have to deal with. And one of the things that I first like to deal with, I would like to deal with anxiety, because that seems to be the number one thing right now that I'm seeing that people are dealing with. Hello, Brother Dennis. One of the things that I'm seeing is anxiety. People have become so anxious for everything. You know, it would think that it was laid back, but it's not a laid back time. It's anxiety, frustration, foreboding, all in the mind. God, I'm frustrated. And so I was looking for my deliverance book. And some of you that have been through my class already, then you already know some of the signs and some of the demented things that have gone on. And just talking about, you know, some of the sexual things that have been happening. We'll talk about that tonight, too, because when your inbox is full, I don't proclaim to be an expert. I am one that will research. I'll go and look and study and see what exactly is going on? What is the temperature that is going on when you have men that are crying, when you have youth that are in a state, when you have women, when you have marriages, when you have single women, single men, when you have every race and creed, every color that is going through mentally and emotionally, there has to be something that must be addressed. And am I the person? I'm in COVID, so I feel like I'm qualified to speak into COVID. And even on Messenger, when I'm messaging and people are talking, then there's so many things that run with people's personalities. What are we doing for the vices? Because look, if you can't get to a vice that you used to have, you'll create a vice, and that vice comes in your own house. Let's talk about the first thing is anxiety. I want to talk about anxiety disorders. So let's talk about that, because everybody is anxious and having anxiety, and we just push it to the side, or it's just COVID. But some of us was having anxiety and didn't know it, and didn't know it that was to this magnitude. You thought that sometimes just going out, you were being in public, and that, you know, I'm a little nervous about that. But now we're seeing that my anxiety is heightened. And anxiety just doesn't mean that I'm anxious about this one thing. It's a feeling of being agitated. You know, you're agitated. Okay. I didn't realize how I was dealing with anxiety, but I was agitated, aggravated by many things, or just a small thing could agitate you and aggravate you. Hit your share button. And you can do your research on all of this, but when we need to know what's going on with me, because if you're not careful, the devil will tell you, or somebody else will come along and tell you that you're losing your mind. We're not losing your mind. You're really coming into contact with your feelings, because we were at one point so busy until we didn't have to think about, you know, what our anxieties were, because we were so busy. We come home, we may cook dinner, take a shower, be up for an hour, and then we go to bed. We had a regimen, we had a routine. But now that's not our life. We don't have that regimen anymore. So now we have to deal with us, and we're having more alone time with ourselves. We're having more time with our kids, more time with our spouses. And so that feeling of being agitated, you know, sometimes your hands are sweaty, or you're just foreboding and you don't know why. So God is going to help us to deal with that anxiety and that overprocessing. You know, when you can't turn your mind off, or even in your dreams, when you lay down and you're trying to go to sleep, you went to bed early enough, but even after a couple of hours, you wake up and you may sit up straight in the bed, because there's this anxiety, there's this foreboding, like something is going to happen, like something is happening. Well, that's a sign of anxiety, you know, and I think we just think that, oh, I'm having a restless night. It's not always like that, but that restlessness is a part of anxiety. Oh my God, this is good to me, because I was just like, okay, I can't sleep, it's insomnia. No, sometimes you have an anxiety and you can't turn your mind off until you're restless. Even when you go to look, you can take the whole medicine cabinet, okay? And then once you take the medicine cabinet, you still need something else to help you to go to sleep, because it doesn't turn off. The mind doesn't turn off. I got to do this. I need to do that. I need to do this. I need to do that. Somebody needs me over here. Somebody needs me over there. Well, I don't want that to be our story, because anxiety is causing people to have sudden strokes and heart attacks. So we have to slow our roll down. And then it's about establishing your boundaries. It's about you bringing what is necessary and not picking up another vice. If you let people go, then don't pick up your phone and start gambling and playing other things. are looking at other things. Okay, so we pick up one thing. We can't shop like we used to shop. So now we're looking at things that possibly we shouldn't be looking at. And COVID comes with fatigue. And fatigue comes with anxiety. Anxiety makes you a little restless. Fatigue, they call it COVID fatigue, but it's also mentally exhausting because you don't know what's wrong with you, and you start to feel anxious about that because it's so many diagnoses, so many prognosis, so many things that are being, y'all, excuse me, my nose is itching, but so many things that are being thrown out there to you until this is overwhelming to the average person, and no one wants to talk about, okay, I'm feeling anxious. I'm having a day that I'm really feeling overwhelmed. And so one of the things is if I'm feeling fatigued and I'm having anxiety, then I need to have somebody that I can really talk to about it. And everybody cannot understand your processing and how you're processing. Hit your share button if you would. So everyone cannot understand your processing, but and your frustration and your agitation. And you got to think, what is it about me that has me so agitated, so frustrated, so restless with other people right now that I don't want to be around them? I'm really having this, and I'm over processing why I feel the way that I do. And then the guilt comes because you're feeling some kind of way about the way that you feel about your anxiety. It's your anxiety. So people are making you make yourself feel guilty about the way that you feel, as opposed to flowing through the way that you feel. I hope I'm really getting through to you guys tonight, because anxiety is real. Hit your share button. Anxiety is very, very real. And one of the things the saints don't want to talk about is that I'm frustrated. I'm having an anxiety attack. I'm in this house, the kids, I don't know. And you can look at the TV. People are having anxiety attacks. Look at the Facebook. Look at what's all out there right now. Everything to make you even more frustrated. The election, the lack of fairness, honesty, integrity that we see on so many levels, in so many cases. It's so real. And then the thing about it is you don't even realize that the teenagers are having anxiety attacks because they can't process through all of this the way that we do. And then you can't process through it because you can't hardly hold listen to me, a thought. Let's talk about that. Concentrating. Having that fog feeling. You know what I mean? Anybody been having that fog feeling where you just can't concentrate exactly on exactly what you want to talk about? But don't trust talking about this to this person, that person. I'm having fog attacks. I can't process all of that because it seems like it's too much. I'm trying to see if I can see anything else come through here. All right. Okay, there we go. Yeah. So, you know, when your brain having that fog, you want to carry on something, you want to do something, but you can't even remember what it is that I want to do, what it is that I need to do, because I'm overwhelmed. And I try to bring one thought at a time, but the thoughts come rushing like over and over and over and over and over. And you know, we don't realize that the anxiety affects those of us that are sexually, those that are married. It affects your, you know, sex drive. It can have it so low, or because you are having anxiety. Now I'm dealing with some people that are talking about this. Your sex drive is low. Either people are trying to overcompensate and they're starting to look at other things. So now their sex drive is super high, which brings, you know, a problem in relationships, because sexually one person is tired, they're having anxiety, they don't feel like having sex, there's it's almost like a job to have sex, it's almost as though you're not getting anything, you have to put your mind in it because you're having all of these anxiety feelings. And I think that even some people that are single, we think that sexually that's going to fix it. And then afterwards, social distancing is not always social distancing, although they say we should be social distancing. So because married people are together does not mean that single people are not having, you know, sexual relations. So I want to talk about, you know, when you have anxiety, you can go from one extreme to the other extreme. You can be very manic, which means my sex drive is on 12 and 20, or you can go down until your sex drive is almost non-existent. And then that can cause problems in relationships, because the person feels like you're not into them. What's happening? Did I do this? Have I done something wrong? And it's not them. It's just where you are, what you're going through. So difficulty in concentrating, difficulty being sexually aroused, you know, just tensed up, just tense, just walking around, you're tense, nerved up on everything. You walk around and you're in your house and you're thinking and you can't turn your brain off. And then before you know it, you're expecting something. You don't even know how tense you're walking, or your shoulders start to hurt and you're breathing, or chest pains. That's because of anxiety and frustration and just things on just, you know, when you have anxiety, your body is thinking, and even your breath is off. Y'all hit your share button. I'm going to teach this tonight. Your breath can be off. We'll get to the good stuff later. Yeah. Yeah. And then you have, when you have anxiety, you have fears that are rational, your normal fears, but then you have irrational fears, and then it's trust. It's almost like a paranoia that comes on, because I don't trust, because we all are in an area that we've never been before. And so honestly, we must deal with the fact that I'm having anxiety. I'm dealing with paranoia. This is stuff that I'm in a place that I've never been before. And then if you talk about it, and somebody say, talk to a psychologist, talk to a therapist, talk to a life coach. Well, I'm all of the above, licensed counselor. And so I'm listening to men. When men call and men are actually crying, or they don't see themselves or how they can be better, and they're feeling their weakness, you know, because this is their first time in COVID as well. And it's an expectation on them to have an answer that we don't even know all the facts to. So I give this pass for every man, and that is, you know, you're in COVID. Take it one step at a time yourself, because the enemy would love for you to just be broke down and stressed out, because wanting you to have answers, and tensions get high because you don't have answers, and people are asking things of you that you don't even have it to give, because sometimes our wives and children and everything else, they forget that you, just because you're a man doesn't mean you're not going through the emotions of COVID, which means I have my own paranoias. I have my own feelings. We as women, we're a little bit more liberal. We're a little bit more liberal. We're a little bit more outgoing. Whereas the man, it could go either way, but sometimes we women, we want to be more social, and the men do not want to be that social because they are protectors. And when protectors feel uncomfortable or stuck in their space, and if we as women need somebody else in our space, our girlfriends, and just talking, then that's going to cause a problem. So I was just thinking about that, the anxiety that each relationship is going through and the anxiety that we go through and the own paranoias that you're walking through. Well, what about my kids? What about this? And then you have to go to a job and then you have to think about school. So COVID is real. People don't want to talk about none of this. They would rather hear, you know what? People enjoy their fears, I'm finding, because sometimes we get in front of that TV and we want to sit there for hours and hours listening to your president, listen to the president who is expected with Biden. I don't want to listen to all of that all of the time. So there are certain things that we have to do for ourselves and help ourselves, because some folks like that. You don't have no life outside of anything else. So we sit there in front of that TV thinking that we're going to have an answer from God as opposed to pray. And that's the truth. So I'm just talking about phobias and all of that. Anxiety, paranoid, just irrational processing. What if this? What if we go outside and what if this? Some things are very, it's good to be cautious, but there's a whole different realm that you can get into that you may not be able to come back from, y'all, because COVID is real. Just like there was underlying issues, as I said in our last taping, there are underlining issues with our own mental state before we even began COVID. And some of us were broken during COVID, and you have to try to heal during this process. It's amazing how God, things happen and God is, because in the midst of all this, there has to be a healing process emotionally, mentally, in the midst of being broken in COVID. What about the people that are divorcing during COVID? What about people that have lost lives during COVID and they've lost loved ones that are close to them? So there's a lot of things that is causing anxiety. And once there's been a loss during COVID, I'm telling you, there is a fear of the unknown. Especially the more you see young kids, the more you see teenagers. Okay, well, it wasn't us at first. It was the elderly people, those that had underlining situations. And then we start to see that they really didn't know. And a lot of things that they told us just wasn't true. So here we are dealing with our own psychological and analytical and logic. Because you're trying to deal with a logical thing with information that just isn't enough. So that's my prayer, is we got to figure out ways to reduce the anxiety. So I definitely wanted to talk about that. And I want to talk about post-traumatic stress. Let me tell you something. Anybody, anyone that is in COVID, you will deal in some way with the post-traumatic stress of this virus. You can talk a scripture, you can say whatever, but there are things that you dealt with that you have never dealt with before. So when you have that post-traumatic, the post-trauma after you come in, because many of us are in survival mode and we're moving. But at the end of this, whenever that is, you're dealing with post-traumatic stress now in some areas. Because see, some, like Michelle, prime example, you lost mother-in-law, father-in-law, and you still have to be mother, and you still have to be, and Mike still has to be father, and you still have to work on these jobs. So there's really not a lot of time, but there comes a time that there shall be a real big grieving process, because everybody's trying to make everything go back to normal. And we've been pushing and running here and running there, trying to find something normal, trying to get away from the trauma. And that's why we're so heightened in our relationships. That's why we're so sensitive to what people say, because it's the stressors that you had before on top of the stressors you have now. it's just not good. That's why we can see people that are you know, mentally having breakdowns. And let me say this, just because a person did not go to an institution does not mean that they have not had a breakdown. People are fragile and trauma is real. And I think we have to start dealing with people where they are and ask God to give us patience to deal with people where they are and help us, God, to see people where they are. Because a lot of times when people have post-traumatic stress, they have a tendency to lash out, and they're unbeknowing, but there's that lashing out, there's that sharpness, there's this because their mind is on that that stress. So, and then you have so many regrets during this process. Post-traumatic stress, guilt, you know, sorrow, shame. I should be better. COVID is real. COVID is ever so real. It's so real. And COVID is a prime environment. COVID is a prime environment for narcissists. I know that, you know, we're talking about anxiety and everything, but you have to know not to get preyed on in this season. And I'm not talking about prayed for. I'm talking about preyed on, because narcissism is real. Somebody asked me today, what's the difference between a female and a male? I think that females, you can kind of know a female, but with the males, it's more manipulative, whereas the woman is manipulative in her own way, but the males are more, it's a more dominant, and that's what statistically speaking, most narcissistic people are males. They're not females. Not saying that a female cannot be narcissistic. And narcissism just simply means that you just have a grandiose perception of yourself, that you are awesome, that you are great, that you are better than everybody else, and everybody around you is somewhat stupid. And so even in that is a camouflage. If you had some issues, even up under that is camouflage for the insecurities that you already had. I hope that's making sense to y'all. Hit your share button. And then we have the OCD people. People that are OCD, you're going to have to let them have their room and their space, because everybody has to have their space. Now, if you're not quite as tidy, then, you know, try to keep your side tidy. Oh my God, you really do, because minors become majors when we are in COVID, because we are all together. We are all around each other all the time. Oh, are y'all getting anything out of this tonight? Yeah. So there's a lot of things. And so narcissistic behavior. And then I was talking about, sociopathic and pathological disorders and stuff. So psychological disorders. And you have to realize that even in COVID, when people already were dealing, come on, let's be truthful. You know people that has like two or three personalities. So in COVID, it ended up with 5, 6, 7, 8 personalities that I'm dealing with, that I'm looking at people, I'm like, okay, there was one person that just talked. There was this person that just spoke. Listen, 9, 10 personalities, because it's a survival. Each part in trauma, remember, each part, trauma just causes it to split. Being separated from family can cause trauma and another split. I'm talking about a mental split. And that's why they call it split personality, social disorders, or schizophrenia. Now you're finding that more people right now are being diagnosed with schizophrenia. Well, is it schizophrenia, or is it just that the pressure up under COVID has caused different personalities to come up? Have y'all ever thought about that? It's just sometimes that different personalities, and there's a survival mechanism that we pull on, that we go to survive. And so there's a personality. There's a personality that you go to work with. We already had some of this stuff. I'm just being truthful. You had a personality that you went to church. We had a personality that you went here and there. And now all of these personalities are feeling like they have to protect you. And you feel like you have to protect yourself. Good. It's a survival mechanism. That's why the personality split. Because, okay, if I got hurt during COVID, okay, I don't have time to heal. So there's this person, there's this personality that feels like it has to survive and help you to survive. I'm just talking about split personalities right now. Do your research. It feels like it has to help you to survive, and we can conjure it. It conjure it up on the inside of us. It's real when people say alternate personalities, alter egos. That's why these stars and these rappers and all of these folks talk about their alter egos, and it's so popular because you know what? People need them to survive. That's what they needed, to survive. Oh, I hope I'm hoping y'all really getting this. When personalities split, it's almost like when I teach in my classes, I teach about deliverance. Y'all talk to me. Talk to me there. When I talk about deliverance, and I talk about the little girl or the little boy that is a protector, because the person that has a split personality, they feel like that one, the host, which is you, you're the weakest one. So it develops a personality that is stronger in this area. And you know it's really not you, but this personality is stronger in this area. The brain is a powerful tool. That's why I'm telling y'all, COVID is real. Y'all don't have to listen to me, but COVID is real. Somebody needs to tell us the truth. Because once your personality splits, it feels as though you can't survive this. And so there's another personality, and it's derived from anger. It's derived from stress or hurt. And then it comes up. And then what should have been a pain that you flowed through became a personality that came. Oh, I hope I'm making real good sense to y'all today, because I'm talking to you from another realm and another location right now. Hit your share button. See, when people talk about, oh, they just don't have this personality or that personality, people develop personalities to help them survive trauma, post-traumatic stress, whether it is you can see people that have been raped and all of a sudden they become, they weren't talking at one time, but now it seemed like that rape gave them a voice, or it could do the opposite. It could shut them down. So with that being said, post-traumatic stress builds a personality to survive an alternate, or it will pull on something from the former you. Oh my goodness. Am I making sense? It'll pull on something from the former you. When you felt stronger or when you felt better, it'll pull on that personality. When you were a little reckless, when you didn't care, it will pull on that personality. It will pull on the brawler, you know, that you used to be, Mr. Christie, Mr. Q. It'll pull on that. So that's why people are losing it. And then they don't even remember what happened because they have disassociated personalities. That's all disassociative personalities is Dissociative personalities is simply what we call back in the day schizophrenia. This like different compartments of the person. Now we're giving a lot of things new names, but when you have multiple personalities, and a lot of people are like, I just got one personality, I just got one. No, whoever the one that survived, or the one, if you're not really anchored, you don't even know that you have developed this personality. Everybody is looking at you and they're wondering why. Okay, why are you crying all the time now? Why are you angry all the time? Because see, a lot of times when people cry, they are not crying because they are remorseful. Sometimes people are crying because they're angry that you, and how dare you say anything to me? How dare you bring this to me? How dare you expose this to me? How dare you? How dare you? How dare you? I'm in COVID. Yeah. And so when those personalities begin to arise, we have to really talk about that, because you don't understand how a person is snapping like that, because they have disassociated themselves. What makes a person just snap and go through? What makes people, I'm nobody's politician. Nobody's liberal. I told you, Democrat. You know, you just stuck like Chuck with all of this. Everybody want to talk about God, Jesus, blah blah blah. But at the end of the day, I'm looking. I'm like, what would make people pull a whole bus over? What would make people try to intimidate you to the magnitude? What's in our head? What's in the head? And you've got to know this is real. Sometimes we don't want to deal with it as being real, but people know this is real. They'll try to tell you, don't worry about that. But look, they're boarding up their buildings. Hello. They are boarding up their buildings because they know that it is irrational, erratic behavior, chaotic behavior right now. And people are mentally, and they're angry, and they're emotionally frustrated, and their emotions are split and suppressed. Oh my God. Not just that. What is making so much? What is making this is not just an American issue. This is a world issue. What would make Nigerians shoot up in a crowd? What would make somebody in France behead somebody? Because you said something about what, Muhammad? I don't know. What would make people react to the magnitude they are reacting? COVID, and plus what was in them on the inside that was done to them even at an early age. People don't even believe that some of the things that you're fighting and you're dealing with right now has nothing to do with COVID. It has everything to do with exposure. Because if you want to be better, then certain things had to come up. They had to not be undercover. They could no longer be covered up with a scripture on it and knowing that you wasn't healed. Sometimes God allows certain things to peel back so that that wound that you had a long time ago could begin to be healed now. Oh, yes. So that it could be healed now. And that's what the process is. The process is healing. It's not about laughing, and I don't really feel like laughing. It's about being healed emotionally and mentally. If you have any questions, somebody sent me some questions. But I just want to talk about, again, sociopath and psychopathic behavior. Now, the sociopath is very quiet. They're not as they're calculating in their mind. Psychopathic people are just mean. And you have to be careful with all of the suppressed emotions so that that does not become you when you come out of that. because I believe that there is the scripture rings true with me, but also why it was there. It said you will know them by the love that they have one toward another, because it's very difficult with all of this going on to love people who are really unlovable and who you know don't love you, and they're constantly, because of where they are and things that are unresolved in their life, they have COVID brain is what I call it. That's COVID brain when you're acting like that. When you don't have no taste, you don't have no senses, you don't have no smell, you have no so right and wrong in that moment means nothing. Oh my God. Right and wrong in the moment of suppressed behavior, suppressed emotions means nothing. It has only ignited, it has only illuminated what we suppressed. And there is a way that seemeth right. And say, well, I just don't believe. Well, you know what? Here's some things. There's some things that we've done. There's some things that were said. There's some behaviors that you never thought. I never thought I'd see the day when the governor and the mayor would be suing each other. These things are not common, but now they are common. I call it COVID brain. You've got to put a name to this and stop acting as though it's normal. It is not normal. It is escalated. It is escalated. Murder is escalated. Domestic violence is escalating. And so these are normal people. Wait a minute. The normal person, the average person who would never steal because of the lack of job is now considered dangerous because they are in COVID and they are in places that they've never been. Your house is not safe. That's why I say, why are you always talking about bringing people to your house? Your house is not safe. Don't be bringing people in to your sacred spaces. Yes, when you don't establish boundaries. None of this is normal. None of this is normal. And we shouldn't get to the place where we say it's okay, that we all are angry at everybody. We're angry in our families. Families are not talking. Oh my, come on. Families are not talking. Sisters and brothers are not talking. The church folks are not talking. You know, politically, it's almost a war zone. We've never seen anything like this in our lifetime. So when we talk about lawlessness, this is an era of lawlessness. Yeah, it really is. And so we have to begin to even deal with it in the church, because you can quote a scripture, put it up on it, cover it up, and have Jesus wrapped around you on the outside, but he has to get on the inside of you to change some of those things and the way you process, because some of those hurts have been there for a long time, and all it takes is one time for somebody to hit the right button, and that could be you on the news. And that's why, you know, narcissistic people, they just waiting. They just pushing little buttons, wanting you to say something, wanting you to do something, wanting you to deal in an area that you're not healed in. The enemy knows, because when he comes, he sees his stuff. If there's hurt, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, he sees this stuff. Stop thinking so and over-processing about people walking out of your life. That's not important right now. What is important is your survival and your sanity during and after the process, because this is what's going to cause a greater mantle and a greater anointing. People keep talking about money. Money's gonna come, but what don't you want to have your sanity as well as money? Nebuchadnezzar had a kingdom, but he was eating grass. So I would love to have my sound mind as well as my financial gain during the midst of COVID and post-COVID. Because everybody's talking about money, money, money. So money is a way of an escape too. I'm going to make this money. I'm going to make that money. I'm going to make this money. I'm going to make that money. So they got you at home. Now they got the games. Oh, my God. Now they got the games. Oh, Brother Six, the entertainer. Yep, they're talking about y'all can do the bingo thing. So people are spending because, you know, they're messed up, nerved up. You know, it's COVID. Oh, my God. I know Candy Crush was getting some of my change. I don't spend money. I'm just telling you the truth. You know, you have to deal with the subtleties that come. And if you don't recognize them, you will embrace them. Y'all hit your share button. If you don't recognize them, you will embrace them before you know it. And one of the things that COVID is doing, COVID is making us run to things that we never thought that we would run to. And it's making us do things and get into situations that we never thought we'd get to because people are trying to numb their pain. Look, I understand. You want to turn the brain off, but the brain doesn't turn off. It just won't turn off at times. And then the expectation of you. There's such an expectation for you to do this and to do better and survive and everything. So the expectation becomes overwhelming. And then when you make a mistake, there's so much regret. So there's not a whole lot of room for error. Where we used to give ourselves grace. And, but I think because now we know and we are exposed to ourselves, that's the thing about it. COVID was designed for you to be exposed to yourself, not to everybody else. So what you are exposed to, what is your realities, things that you are finding out about yourself. That's personal between you and God. God could have put it all out there on display. He could have put it out there, but he didn't. Yes, it wants you to feel defeated and like you're not accomplishing anything. You are. You're just having to be real with yourself. Yes. And people are putting expectations where, look, I don't want you to put expectations on me that you don't put on yourself. Come on. Give yourself a little grace because this is something that you don't know. I'm not saying give yourself an era on an arena for you to just make mistakes. But no. So. Let me see here, because I wanted to talk, you know, there's so many acute stress disorder. People don't even understand that stress can, acute stress. I'm not talking about being a little stressed, but I'm talking about being acute stress, like acute, diagnosis, acute appendicitis means it's very bad. So stress, acute stress means that it takes over you and it almost causes you not to be able to function because of the stressors that's on you and the stress that we put on ourselves. You can become almost dysfunctional. I hope that's giving you a little grace to say, okay, let me not stress so much, but let me walk in such a way that I am building and I'm completing some things. I hope, I'm really hoping that you begin to be illuminated in that area, in that arena, and that you stop. Text out too. Hold on 1 second, you guys. Let's see, Mom. Okay, yes. So I'm just asking that, you know, don't let the dysfunction become normal. You know, that I'm so out of control until you don't know how to get control. And Lord knows, let me say this here. The eating thing is a dysfunction. It is not right. You know what? It's almost like it's a bottomless pit, right? And then if you look, if you got a narc, if you got a sociopath, they're going to push you all the way into those areas. And you're already there and you're already perceiving yourself as a certain way. So it doesn't help not to make decisions. And I think that this is going to be a time that we make real decisions. And COVID came. Remember, COVID came for you. It didn't come from nobody else. COVID came for you to see what you had and what you were dealing with. I think COVID really put a spin on the deliverance class. Remember, we talked about even sexual things in there. We were talking about different types of personality. I was trying to find my deliverance book, but I'm like, there's so many things that are mentally coming upon us that wants to sit on you and weigh on you so that you don't have the energy to fulfill your purpose and your destiny at all. So that stress, acute stress, it's not normal. It's like overbearing. It's overwhelming stress. And it's almost like you can't breathe, you can't see, you don't have clear transmission in your thought processes because that stress is overwhelming. Oh my God. And it's like, okay, who are you? And that's always the question you're going to come up with. And that'll be the answer. Because it's not about anyone else. It's not about blaming anyone else. It's about putting it on ourselves, you know? I promise you. Those eating disorders, Lord have mercy. Oh, y'all need to look that up. What about the disruptive, you know? What is this disruptive? You have that disruptive, that it's a disorder where they, if it's not chaos, some people cannot function in normal circumstances. So they have to make things chaotic. They have to make things chaotic in their home. They have to make things chaotic. So disruptive outbursts, you know, or sometimes, listen, sometimes the most vocal outbursts is silence. Sometimes the most vocal outburst is silence. And passive aggressive people. I'm always go back to being passive aggressive. Passive aggressive. I'm giving y'all a lot. I'm giving y'all a lot because you know what? It's all about here. And everybody's talking about, okay, COVID. Okay, COVID is going strong, but what are we doing about the mental things? What about the people that are on the street? What about the people that you encounter every day that's dealing with COVID and don't have the means or the wherewithal to deal with it the way that you do? What about those people? What about the relatives that were not, or the friends that you knew that were not wrapped so tight anyway? And one thing, let me say something about COVID. COVID will make you, if you're not careful, COVID will make you a victim that you were never designed to be. You're either going to be victorious in COVID or you're going to find somebody to make a villain. And you can write this one down. You always find a villain before you become a victim. Mm-hmm. You always find you a villain. You vilify somebody so that it gives you the right to be a victim. Who have you fixated on? Who has your mind made your personal villain so that you can become a victim of your circumstances. And then when you become the victim, then after all of that suppressed behavior, oh my God, all of that suppressed behavior will bring up an alter ego. Y'all better understand, because it splits and it hurts. And then when it hits, it's like that trauma. And you start off even in the womb with a split. You're an embryo. Your chromosomes, you split. And so you don't think that that brain has the ability to do that. And so this is why we're seeing so many different personalities. You know, people, you had to walk, even when you make a phone call right now, you have to go, like, when you call up people now, you have to test the waters. Hello, how you doing? Because you don't know who's going to pick up a phone on the other end. You don't know who's going to pick up the phone on the other end. Is it going to be Mr. Nice, Miss Nice, or is it going to be, you know, somebody? Yeah. You don't know. So even you just don't know who's going to pick up the phone. Who am I going to meet when I come through the door at work today? What's going on with them? So everybody is walking lightly around people because you don't know. What did I do today? What did I do? What did I say? Who said it? What did I do? You didn't do anything. You just came into the room. And that's somebody else's stuff. That's not your stuff. Don't stop owning everybody's stuff, because it will make you a victim rather than victorious. And there's a destination that you have to get to. It all comes to expose. But can I tell you, it's all working together for our good. It is necessary. The psalmist said it was good that I was afflicted. It was good. Why are we making this thing in that place? I think Pastor Tiger missed. What was the message Sunday, babe? In that place? In the place where it was said. So in the place where it was said, in the place where it was said, in that place, if you can get past that place, then you can go to the next place, into the next arena, into the next era. But don't be a silent sociopath. See, sometimes it's just sitting there and then just manipulating and feeling all this stuff internally and hating folks and waiting for an opportune time to pounce on them or to manipulate them or to hurt them, to have a get back spirit. And you don't even know what you're getting back on, because everything that happened wasn't real. It was all imagined. Am I making sense to you guys? It never happened like that. And if it did happen like that, what is wrong with us that we meditate on it, we rehearse it, it becomes so big until we don't even know what to do with it. It became so big, it became so huge until you meditated on it. The offense became greater and your mental capacity decreased because we meditated on the wrong things too much. And so if you keep meditating on it, if you keep meditating on something that is negative, it creates that energy. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Everything begins in the mind, and then it manifests. So this is why it's so important to bring your mind. This is why it's so important, hey, to talk it through. Yes, I felt this way. This is what I said. Do you have a problem with it? Is there anything that you'd like to say? Then, no, there's nothing I'd like to say. So then there's this thing starts to erupt, because every time you have negative feelings, remember I taught this in class, every time you have negative feelings, or every time you have all of these toxic thoughts, that it secretes, you know, poison in your body. Remember that. So the more negativity that you think, and that's why y'all be like, what's wrong with her? Because I'm not going to keep processing negative on you. I want to think on something pure. I want to think on something that is just, honest, and lovely, and a good report. Because if I keep thinking, and the thing about it is we have to be taught how to be honest in COVID. COVID had to isolate you to get you away from a lot of perpetrators, a lot of things in your family where people just would not tell the truth. They would not tell the truth. And the truth was offensive where you were. So I'm like, I'm just really cool with people that feel like they have to get away from you, because, and you should be too. You should be cool with people that feel like they have to get away from you, because if you cannot be you, if you cannot be your true authentic self, if you cannot say how you feel, what you thought to them, then they are not the people that God has for your crowd, because your audience will want to hear what you have to say. Hello, your audience, know your audience. Can you hear me that? You got to know your audience. And if they don't want to hear you, is that your audience? Is that your people? Why we keep trying to be around people and convince people to hear us? If you don't think that what Brother Savage says is right, if you don't think what Miss Claudette, anybody says is right, then what is it that makes you stay? Because you know what? There's a war in our members that doesn't want to hear the truth, and you have to become who God intends for you to be, because there's a voice on the inside of us that is crying to get out. If my voice, wait a minute, there's a voice and a sound that's going to come out of COVID that is going to cause such a, change in the atmosphere. Everybody's talking about, I want to be blessed with money. I want you to have some power when you come out. Money is power in the earth realm. It's the currency in the earth realm. What is the currency of heaven? What is the currency? The anointing. What is your mantle? What are you coming out with? Know your folks. Know your people. Stop making people your people that are not your people. They're narcissists. They're sociopaths. They're psychopathic behavior. They're OCD. They're dealing with post-traumatic stress. So you've got to know your audience. You can't expect a narcissist to be your cheerleader, because it's never about you with dealing with narcissistic people. It is only about the narc. It is never about you. Narcs will never celebrate your accomplishments. Narcs will never celebrate your things. They will sit and they will look a good report, and you know you're dealing with a narc when you don't want to tell any good news. Hello. You don't want to say anything good because the narc is going to put it down, or you feel like you can't say it around them because they're the ones that's grandiose, and if you take your moment to shine, then they have a problem with that one moment that you took, because that's not your style. You're not a narc, but the narc does not want you to have one iota of a moment of somebody blessing you, somebody speaking a good and favorable report about you. They don't want somebody to bless you. They don't want to see you. They'll talk about wanting you to go somewhere, but when it comes down to putting their money where their mouth is, you will see narcissistic, sociopathic, psychopathic personalities that will not and do not want you to be at the level. Hit your share button. They don't want you to reach the level that is intended for you. And so this is when your eyes have to become fixated, and then you become exposed. So, okay, this was exposed to me. What you gonna do about it? Either you become a victim or a slave to it, or either you become liberated. It's not like rocket scientists. It's not like anything. You either gonna, you know, I'm not gonna keep listening to all of the rhetoric about how somebody doing you and you like it. You don't want to keep listening to the door is open for you to, and God provides you a way of an escape, but you don't want to escape. You just want to talk about the door being open. You don't understand that God is providing a way for you to do better and have better, because narcissistic people get inside your head. Sociopaths set up and study, and they watch you, and they get inside your head. And they make you feel guilty for recovering. Because if you recover, if you're broken and you say, I need to recover. I need to come back from some things. Let me recover. Then they are mad because they know if you recover comes clarity. You could put that in your screen. When there's recovery, there comes clarity. After recovery comes clarity. After recovery comes clarity. They don't want you to recover. You know, and the thing about it is, when you have been with a narc, sociopath, psychopath, or whatever, when you've been with that, then that's all you know, then that is what you will relate to. And you know what? You'll call a deliverer a sociopath, because they're different than your normal, what you're used to. Oh, I'm going to make that good. They're different than what you're accustomed to, because they want to see you win. They don't tell you, oh, you just pretty all the time. They say, this is not right. That's not right. You know, you can do this. You can do that. You can, how about this and how about that? But because you spoke a truth where there has not been truth, then remember, you offend a narcissist anytime you expose their lies. Because they're habitual liars. They're habitual. Narcissistic people are habitual liars. I'm not gonna start a group talking about narcissistic people. I don't need to start a group talking about narcissistic people. You know what I'm saying? I want to talk about people that's dealing with their own sociopathic, their own psychopathic, their own post-traumatic stress. You know, I don't want to get in a group where I got to talk about my pain 24/7. No, the objective for this is to inform us of what's going on with us, not just spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially, socially, and economically, so that we can be well-rounded. When you recover, then there comes clarity. Somebody asked me today, are mental health issues the result of a traumatic childhood, or curses on the person's bloodline? Are they spiritual issues? Mental health issues can be a part of an environmental thing. It could be something that you grew up with. It could be something that you inherited. It could be genes, just like diabetes runs in the family heart, then mental illness has the same ability to run into your family. And it also can be, you know, in the bloodline. Because if you look up your tree, you know, there's people up there. So, yes, hit your share button. We're going to keep talking. Are there any known examples of narcissists other than mental health that have been delivered? Narcissistic people are very difficult to get delivered, and I say this because they don't think anything is wrong with them, and they're always out trying to outsmart God. They're always trying to outsmart God. They have a false humility. They want to act like, oh, I just want God to help me. No, they have false humility. They have their own agendas, and that's what a narc is. And so they have, can they get delivered? God can deliver and heal anybody. If he could do it with Paul and Saul, Paul turned him to Saul to Paul, he's able. But I'll say this, a narc is very hard to get delivered because narcissistic people are superior and in their own mind. And they don't feel like there's nothing wrong. And they feel like they can outsmart you. Sociopath, psychopath, narcs always feel like they can outsmart you. This is why you have to have the gift of the spirit of discerning of spirits, so that you can discern. Flattery, you can sit up and flatter. I don't like flattery. Flattery always gives me, put me on something else. You know, flattery puts me on something else, because I'd be like, what is all of that? What is all of that? But if you need that, if you need validation, then narcs know how to get you, because you're never equal to them. And they always get people in their mind that are less than them. How can a person safely support a person dealing with these issues without becoming affected by their dangers and damaging behavior? It's extremely difficult because I just think birds of a feather. I've not seen it not. One may not have it as strong. You can be passive, but you have the other one is aggressive, but it's the same spirit that's operating. Am I making sense? Passive, aggressive, it's the same spirit that's operating. Narcs and idealistic people run together. Let me say that. A narc has to have an idealistic person to control. He cannot have, or she cannot have, a person that is an independent thinker or is self-confident, because they're not going to deal with him. They will deal with the idealistic person. That's who Mark's like. Because they play into your idea, not your reality. Because they know that's where you operate from. All of us operate from a place. You just have to have this time to sit back and watch and observe, where do I operate from? Do I operate from emotional hurt? Do I operate from rejection? Do I operate from fantasy? Do I operate from a level of strength? Do I operate from confidence? Do I operate from false security? Do I operate with false humility? Oh my God. Oh, I just don't want nobody to see me. Yes, you do. You want everybody to see you. And that's the truth. And so God had to let some things happen so that we didn't get to be seen. Now, you know, praise God. I'm blessing for it. You know, so yes, narcs have to have idealistic person. They like weak people. They don't like strong people. I love strong people. And the problem with idealistic people is idealistic and people that deal in fantasy, they get offended when you start to push them. When you start to push a fantasy lover, I'm just talking. When you start to push a fantasy lover into reality, then you have your work cut out for you, because they understand, but they can't conceive. Ooh, let me say that again. They can understand. They can receive it. They can hear it, but they can't conceive it. They can't go past. It's almost like a wall that has been built up so that they cannot get everything that they're intended to get. You have to watch the idealistic. because they're easy to become preys. I know I was so idealistic. I just believed that everything and everybody wanted the same thing. That, you know, if people told you that, oh, wow, I just want you to tell me the truth. Do you really believe that now? I hope that, you know, when you told them the truth, did that make you an enemy or a friend? I'm just saying. So it is danger. The danger comes when narcs, can they get delivered? I'm sure they can. But they're going to have a real, genuine encounter with God so that they can change. Because narcs think that they are better than you. They sit. I don't care where they are. I don't care where they are. They sit. They watch. They observe. But they don't think you have good sense at all. They don't. They're the only ones that have good sense. Their idea is the only idea that works. So, you know, narcs do not like dealing with confident women. They don't. Narcs do not like dealing with confident women because it's almost like you disrespected me. No, you don't have the respect for yourself. And so I should not have to validate what you cannot substantiate within yourself. Hello, I don't have to validate what you can't validate, what you cannot substantiate, what you cannot have a resolve within yourself. So God bless, you know, women and men that, you know, this session is so good. I'm so glad I found you tonight. God bless you, Miss Katie. They're just insecure. They're just insecure. Yes. Do narcissist relationships always result in soul ties? Every relationship that you're ever in will result in some kind of tie. You know? And so that's why we always have to, when we are finished with a relationship, we sever, God, every soul tie in the realm of the spirit. I want to sever every tie because if you try to go on to something else and there is a soul tie, it just depends on how connected you were. How did you lie? How much did you allow them to infiltrate into your world? See, sometimes people think soul ties had to have sex. No, they just got into your mind or they got into your emotions. So, you know, it could be sexual, of course, but did they get into your mind? Did they get into your emotions? That's why most of the time I be looking and I be like, I don't know. Repeat it, because you want to get inside my head. Come on. You got to tell people you can't validate. No, if you don't know this about yourself, then you don't need me to validate it because all I'm going to do is cause you a problem. Okay. What does being free and establishing boundaries look like when you realize you've been connected to a narc? Great question. What does it look like when you are trying to break free and establishing boundaries with a narc? Here's the thing about a narc. A narc is so manipulative. They're watching you the whole time. They're watching. The thing about you is that oftentimes we take things for face value. Narcs, sociopaths, psychopaths take nothing for face value. Everything is opportunity. Everything is opportunity. Opportunist. How can I get what I want from you? How can I get you to do what I want you to do? They are never contributors. Let me just give you, show you kind of like what they look like. Narcs are never contributors. Oh my God. They can only contribute long enough to find out or to get inside to infiltrate. They're not team players. They're not going to stay on the team long because they are not the show. So opportunists, narcs are opportunists, sociopaths are manipulative, and psychopaths are just plain mean and cruel. So you want these people to really come and do what? Narcissistic people, you have to establish boundaries from the very beginning. She said breaking free. Yeah, it's difficult to break free, especially if you were easy and they didn't have to think and they reverse. You have to always understand narcs, sociopaths, psychopaths, they all use reverse psychology. What you did to them, establish boundaries. See, the problem is we don't establish boundaries and people are offended when you do establish your boundaries. You have to establish boundaries, especially now, because the problem is, look, our children are at stake. You know, women didn't establish boundaries, so then they brought men in. And so these men get inside their head. How does that happen? How does a man get inside your head or a woman get inside your head and you neglect your child and the child is not eating and you two can come into agreement and starve it together? Because there's an uncanny, there's an unusual soul tie that is there. What mother can birth a child and not feed it? So you have to establish boundaries, but your desperation and your idealistic regiments cannot override your reality. And some people survived in fantasy, in idealism, and so now when reality comes, they don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to make decisions because they don't know how to establish boundaries. And because narcs are so good at manipulating, they know how to come back and talk and make you think you're crazy. Because you didn't do what I wanted you to do. So none of that never happened. Why are you acting that way? And you're like, what happened? What? It never happened. No, that did happen. That did happen. But because you didn't establish boundaries. And people, let me tell you something. Narcs use sex thinking that they can control you as a woman. Okay. I just said it. And women, they'll do the same thing. They use sex to control you. They give you money to control you because they don't think you got a brain. And vice versa. So you have to use your own brain. But you all women, we always looking at another woman, and the man be done took you for everything you got and what you don't have. This is why I say, you have to establish boundaries. Oh, Pastor Rhonda, don't let people do this and don't let this. Because if it's going to hurt me, I used to care about you more than I cared about me. Because then when I start to get sick, you don't care. Come on. When you start to get sick, the narc is not going to be there for you. You done sacrificed. You done covered up all of that mess that they did. But when the narc, they want you, they will tell, they lie, they sneaky, they go undercover, they go undercut it. I'm just saying. Sociopath, they sit back, they act like they just, you know, but they're manipulative. And they sit back and they sit for a certain time to strike. And you can think, okay, well, I did this for you. I did that for you. Haven't I done this? It doesn't matter. Because most of the time, that stuff is so deep. It is so deep in them until they can't help it. I think it almost thinks it's like, remember I said some things activate at a certain time? Then I believe that certain things activate at a certain time. And then all of a sudden, they cannot relate, nor do they remember anything that you have ever done for them. Because what is in them is now coming on the flood. And I told you, they have to have somebody to make their villain in order for them to, for their victim testimony to work. Let me say that again. They have to have a villain in order for their victim testimony to work. Okay, think about it. When there's relationships that's gone bad or something that's going bad or best friends, well, they go and tell somebody else, make you the villain, so that they can be the victim. They try to get to them before you can. Not that you were even thinking about telling anything on them. But the villain, they find themselves a villain, a narc, sociopath, psychopath, anxiety, foreboding, whatever. I need to find someone to villainize so that I can be a victim. And I can make you, because the narc never wants to look bad. Remember, narcs don't want to look bad. Sociopaths are methodical. They sit back and they watch. Psychopaths sit back for an appointed time to pounce. They're after something. They're after your business. Oh, you know, they're gonna lie. They don't have to do whatever. They set you up in situations so that they can go tell everybody what you did. How about that? Sociopaths, psychopaths, narcs, you know, all of these schizophrenic personalities, they set you up in situations so that you can look like the victim or the villain when they come out on you, because there's nothing loyal about them, because they're always comparing themselves to you. And so if COVID, only thing it did was give them a chance to sit on the block a little longer, whether the block be in their chair, whether it be, you know, the walking, it gave them time to think on how to strategize and how to wear you down. But the devil is a liar. Can I say that again? Yeah, so you got to know your boundaries. You must establish your own boundaries for your own sanity. See, we want everybody all the way in. And I'm learning that there still should be a part of you that is off limits, that's totally God's. Totally belongs to God. Mm-hmm. Let's see. And what does it look like when you realize you've been connected to a narc? When you, there is no way after the fact that you don't know that you've been connected to a narc, a sociopath, or a psychopath eventually. Because all I can say, narcs are arrogant And they want you to run behind them, and they want you to feel stupid behind them. It's all mind control. It's all mind control. They don't do anything on the whim. And you say, oh, they just talk too much. No, they don't. They know exactly what to tell. That's a narc. They don't tell you everything. You tell them everything. They don't tell you nothing. Most of the time when you meet a narc, they are grandiose about them, what they have, stuff. But personally, you will not know them like that. But because you want to be in their company, because see, many people are so success driven, success oriented, or you may think this is success, but success looks like that to you. But so I'll flaunt cheese in front of you because that's what you like, cheese. I'll bring you over to my new house because I know that's what you like. I'll show you my car because that's what you're into. But I'll never show you me. Come on. They'll never let you get inside of them. They give you superficial conversation. And if they give you in-depth conversation, 99.9999999% of the time, it is a lie. The stories that they tell, it is a lie. It never happened. Never. They made it up. And they can cry about it. But it never happened. It never happened. They made it up. And so now, if you're not there and you're not listening to this fairy tale that they're telling you, then God is revelating now. Why is God revelating when I start to see you? Why does God revelate then? Why didn't God show you this a long time ago? But because in COVID, things begin to pull off of all of us, which should be a great thing. But no, I want you to look a certain kind of way. I know this is making good sense to you. So remember, 99.9, narcs do not tell you anything. Anything that they say, question it. Sociopathic people, always second guess them because they're not truthful people. Psychopaths, they're not sociopaths, psychopaths, not, they're not truthful people. And you can't help who you love, but you gotta still keep it real with yourself that this person is not capable of loving me because they are not truthful. 99.9999 is the stuff that they say is not true. I want you to think about people that you know. How much do you know about them? And the thing about it, women, the problem is they know everything about you because you tell everything. You tell everything. You know, it takes a real narc to be able to get a woman to sell her body and you get the money? Are you crazy? I'm selling my body, but I got to give you half the money. Do you understand mind control? Do you understand that mind control when people, even on TV, tell you that you didn't see what you saw. I didn't see the shooting. So you trying to make me feel bad by having a real emotion and a strong emotion about something that I saw. So you tell me I didn't see that. You didn't see that. It never happened like that. And so then you get other people, and they say it never happened. So then you begin to change your testimony, although you know what you saw. It's bad. It's just in this season, it's just not a good time. I'm not just talking about man, woman. I'm talking about female, female, male, male. Because who's competing with you? That is unnecessary. Who's trying to bring you down? Look, I have a narc that cannot forget me, because I do. Because when, I'm not talking about a boyfriend, but I'm saying anytime you dealt with a narc and you said no, I promise you, they start coming together and they start plotting. Because how dare you? It's a form of mind control. Because even in their flattery toward you, that's mind control. Let me say that. Flattery is a form of mind control. That's why it says flattery will bring a person to ruin. Flattery is mind control after a while. You know, you can be best friends with somebody, right? Let me give you an example. Because I'm going to tell you how COVID is. You can be a best friends with somebody, but the other person, a narc, does not like this. So narcs begin to say all kind of stuff. And before you know it, you believe the lie of the narc because they are good. Because narcissistic, psychopathic, sociopathic people believe their own lies. And to deal with themselves, they have to belittle you. And in order for them not to deal with themselves, sometimes they have to numb themselves. Wait a minute. Are you numbing yourself really because of me? Are you numbing yourself because you and what you remember about you? Come on. Are people having to numb themselves? I mean, this is what COVID has done. COVID has definitely caused addictions, be it candy, be it drugs, be it alcohol. You know, they knew what they were doing. But do you really think we need to be drunk or inebriated during COVID? Do you really believe that we need to be inebriated? You really need, we need to be on the pill high, you know, than a kite? Yeah. So I was there and flew back. Come on. I mean, you're trying to numb something. And then you blame somebody else because you didn't set a boundary for you. Here's my thing. If you don't set a boundary for you, my husband and I were talking, and we were talking about, you know, boundaries and just how you see people and men and women of God getting caught up in stuff. I said, but if we don't set a boundary for ourselves, if you don't set a boundary for yourself, you'll find yourself doing what you asked. How could they do that? Does that make sense? You'll find yourself asking a question because you didn't establish boundaries for yourself. You established them. Now, I'm good at establishing for me, but can you establish them for yourself? So establish that boundary for yourself so that, okay, I'm not going to do this. I'm not. Now, there's a lot of things that I'm going to do, but this is one thing that, God, I stand before you that I will not do. You know, there has to be your own standard. Because if you don't set one for yourself, you'll be uncomfortable setting them for other people. If you are uncomfortable establishing your own boundaries, you are not capable. We are not capable of establishing those boundaries for other people to walk over into areas that they have no legal rights to. And this is COVID. COVID makes people think that they can do and say anything. And a lot of stuff is in their head. So if there's a lot of stuff that's in the head, when it does come out, it comes out in a horrible way or in a delusional way. I'm just talking about narcissism, sociopathic, COVID, anxiety, post-traumatic stress, all of the things that every last one of you will find yourself. You have this weight on you to be successful and to endure and to make it right. So that's another burden. But at the end of this, what did you really learn? And what did you expose? And what was the necessary corrections? What strengths have you gained? Or are you still the same? In March, it will be a year that the nation really changed. And what marks that year? And if those few months, when you look back, are you still that complaining man or that complaining woman that knows? Are you still the victim? Who did you find to villainize in our minds? That's why people aren't talking to you. It's the strangest thing that in COVID, you lost so many friends, but COVID was the wind that came to blow it all away. What wasn't real? COVID was the thing that came to blow. And so you lost a lot of friends. You lost a lot of family members. People didn't want to talk to you. Lesson learned. But does that mean that you change who you are? No. Who you are is who you're evolving into being. Keep evolving, keep growing, keep transforming into what God calls you to be. I'm telling you. And you have to be careful. And even just be so careful. Brother Mike, it will be 1 year. And so what have we done differently? How's your life? Did you get closer? Did you learn? Did you find somebody else? Or did you just zoom in 10 times harder on something? And sometimes you can zoom in on people who are not here. You're mad because people are not here. You're mad because people are, you know, some people may have died or they're just not there. Or, you know, we made moves, but we didn't go nowhere. You made moves, but all your moves was to threaten Anark. Do you understand that you cannot threaten Anark, sociopath or psychopath, because they are not emotionally disturbed by anything you do, other than changing their plan? Anything you do does not disturb Anark, does not disturb a sociopath, because they are the manipulators. You did it to make a point. They do it because it's who they are. Yeah, just going in circles. They are void of emotions. Exactly. They don't have emotions. You keep asking, blah, 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 blah. It's like talking to a wall. They don't hear you. Because they don't have those type of feelings. Their feelings is all about them. It's not about being connected to another human being. And if they are connected to another human being, that is such a, it would never be over 3 or 4 people. Never. Yeah. They're not available to you, but you're always available to them. And then when you're available to them and you're expecting something in return, reality is you have to deal with what you accept. You have to deal with what you accept. If during COVID, you have to realize they're emotionally unavailable. And what are you going to do about it? Because some people don't have the capacity. Nobody ever required that of them. It's an offense to demand it of them. And it makes them very, very, very angry, because you're asking them to do something that shows their lack of ability. Oh, y'all got to get that. When you ask anybody, a sociopath, a narc, a psychopath, to do anything that they cannot do, you offend them, and they're going to get you back. You know why? Because it's an embarrassment for them. They're disconnected, and they feel like you're asking them to do something that exposed them. Or they act like they don't have the capacity. I'm just saying what we are dealing with in COVID. And you have to say, okay, I am a Christian. I am born again, but I am in no wise naive, nor will I be deceived. If you can pay everybody else, you're going to pay me. Come on. If you can make sure the rent is paid, come on. Narcs are always victims. They don't have the capacity for honor. They don't have the capacity for integrity. They don't have the capacity for truth, because the most truthful person, they'll make into a liar, because they're passive and they are passive aggressive and all of that. They're very fake people. They're very fake people. And anything that's remotely truthful, that's why I don't have a lot of friends. Because I really thought that people wanted the truth when you ask me something. I'm not the best person, but if you ask me, I'm going to tell you. But people often don't want you to say the truth. And that's why I used to wonder, why do people say you're talking about them? I don't even know you like that. But because you're hitting something, and that is so hidden. You hit something that has been so hidden in their life till they wonder, how did you know me like that? Okay. That's sad because they miss out on so much by being that way. It's almost like they don't have the capacity and they don't want to learn. They do miss out, but they don't feel like they're missing out because the world evolves around them. So you miss out. They don't think that they're missing out. If a narc breaks up with you or something, they don't feel that. They feel sorry. They say you missed it because they're narcs. They're sociopaths. They're disconnected. Girlfriends that are disconnected. Some women cannot connect with other women. They're disconnected. And you blaming all of this on you. And you know what? They allow it. It's all your fault. It's all your fault. It's all your fault. It's all your fault. You wouldn't have did this. I wouldn't have had to do. You, what? All right. Hey, I'm Dr. Rhonda Travitt. I'm talking tonight about all the disorders that are very much on the rise in our community, in every community, in every nation. We see just the lack of emotion, the lack of concern, the lack of love, anger, just the least little thing you can say will hurt. So we've seen people be beheaded because of this. We've seen people shot because by 17, we've seen riots, protests. We've seen infiltrations. And what do? Guard your heart and your mind. Be aware of those that are among you, even those that are fake friends, you know, that don't think you don't know that they talk about you too. That just, it's okay. So with that being said, I pray that I have helped you somewhat tonight with the anxiety, the post-traumatic stress, the bipolar disorder, the traumas that you've experienced, and then when your personality kind of splits, and then you be wondering what's wrong over here because an alternate personality starts to evolve to help you to survive. So I pray that you were blessed tonight. I pray that you enjoyed it. I pray that now you, praise God, I'm glad I helped you. So you go ahead and I know some of y'all, we're going to go back and we're going to get in front of the TV and see. But, you know, people are anticipating for voting. And that's why I say you can't say that COVID. I may not be the best orator about this thing tonight, but you better know this is real. Why am I saying this? This is not something that they're talking about on the news, but it's real enough that they're boarding up because they know that the emotions are high. There's never been a time that I've had to vote that I thought that, okay, this is going to be life and death and this is going to be civil unrest. I didn't know the magnitude to what civil unrest was until all of this started happening. So I pray for you. I pray that you would be encouraged. I pray that you would get an understanding. I pray that you really hear. And I pray that we make this thing real. And I pray that you would take care of yourself emotionally. We did a class and the Dr. Berg was talking and he was saying, you know, those that's doing, you know, alcohol, you know, I took an anger management, so I'm an anger management specialist teacher. So also he's talking about, you know, well, marijuana causes depression. You get your temporary out of that. You know that if you drink alcohol, after a while, when you come down, you're going to have to deal with reality. After a while, you take enough pills, you're going to kind of come back and deal with reality. Look, I bought some CBD gummies. I ate the whole thing, you know, trying to go to sleep. I wanted to go to sleep. But look, we just going to have to deal with where we are and everything else that has happened and confront. Either we're going to be Houdini, those that escape, try to escape by their own methods, you know, by their own magic, or either we are going to stand up and really be counted for in this time. You're going to really stand up and be counted for. So I'm praying that you are encouraged. I'm praying that you know that you're beautiful, you're handsome, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Know them. Just know character. Understand character. And, you know, if that character is worthy of your company, I'm learning that. Is that character worthy of your company? So, at any rate, I am Dr. Rhonda Travitt. We dealt with a lot tonight. So if you have any questions, do please come on. We can no longer escape. Exactly. Stop trying to run. Just deal with it. And let's just go higher. I don't think we're going to get to where we want to go. I think that once we really confront us and what's in us and the things that have hurt us, I think that doors will swing open that we've been waiting on for years. So you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're beautiful. And you got to know that you're worth it in this season. Understand that COVID is real, but God is greater. So you be encouraged, be encouraged, be encouraged. Pastor and I are encouraged. So I will talk to you later. I pray that somewhere that I blessed you, because somebody has to talk to us about this stuff. So anyway, I'll talk to you soon. May the blessings of the Lord make rich. At no sorrow, Miss Janika, it's so good to see you. Yes, know and understand character. It's character worthy of your company. All right, great. Thank you, Amanda, Miss Lorraine, everybody, Miss Sandra. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you guys to life, and I will talk to you soon. If you have anything, if there's anything that you want me to talk about during COVID that you're going through, thank you all who inboxed me. Thank you for the ones that made calls or just reached out on Messenger. I am available. Hey, Brother Calvin, good to see you. So I pray that, you know, it's not you, but if it is you, deal with you so that you can be your best you, live your best life. All right, guys, I'll talk to you soon. I'm Dr. Rhonda Travitt, Transformation of a Nation. Keep going. God bless you.